This evening I'd like to look into the 11th chapter of Luke, the first 13 verses. That's where that number stuck in my mind. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. I'm reading from the NIV this evening. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will he give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Father, in direct dependence upon this last sentence that we read, we ask for the Holy Spirit in a peculiar way upon the closing of this day of worship and upon this service and upon these thoughts tonight. Touch our lips to speak, our ears to hear. And we pray that in one sense, just as surely as if Jesus himself were here, that you'll teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Amen. We have in this passage some practical words on prayer. I don't believe Jesus is interested in teaching us about God or teaching us about the words of prayer, as he is interested in getting us to pray. As G.S. Barrett said, "Much prayer, much blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. No prayer, no blessing." And whatever our theories or whatever our doctrine or whatever our experiences in the past have been, the effectiveness of our Christian witness and our Christian life depends upon our prayer life. And so, in a very real sense, I join this disciple, this unnamed disciple, in saying, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach me to pray." This is my request this evening. But when you ask someone who's a master at anything how to do something, whatever his field is, and Jesus was a master in praying, you have to be willing to relinquish your own theories and apply what the master tells you just as he tells you how to do it. If there's anything that gets in the way of learning, it's bringing your own preconceived ideas to the lesson and then not listening, not really hearing what the master says. I've been guilty of that so many times, and I'm sure you have too. It gets in our way. And so what Jesus is, he had already been answering this person's prayer. But let's see if we can listen with a fresh curiosity and a fresh intensity to what the Lord has to say to us about praying this evening. When this man came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray," he didn't realize, but he'd already been having lessons in how to pray. For you couldn't live with Jesus very long and not see an example of prayer. Jesus himself, though he was the unique Son of God, though he was in a relationship with God that none of us will ever have, the same kind of relationship, he came from the glory of God. And he knew that his assignment was a unique assignment, that he was the Messiah. Yet he was, as none of us ever will be, a man of prayer. And his example and the emphasis of his life was prayer. And yet, as this man said, "Lord, teach us to pray," Jesus, just without comment, immediately began to repeat the pattern prayer. And I'm sure in my own mind that this was a repeat. For we read in the sixth chapter of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, where in his, you might call it his keynote address, the beginning of his ministry, as Matthew records it, Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer as we pray it. And we could all say it by heart. But here, once again, he repeats this pattern prayer. And I believe that a pattern is important in our devotional life. It's good to have a pattern to pray with, and this is the pattern, however we adapt it. First of all, we have to come to prayer with the right attitude. You don't just rush into God's presence, at least not as an emphasis of prayer life, and begin spewing out what you think you need or telling God, but you come into God's presence and you say, "Our Father, hallowed be thy name." And then after we have got ourselves into an attitude of worship, just following this pattern, we tell him that he is Lord of our lives. And we acknowledge not only that he's our Father and that he loves us, but that his way is the best way. His way is the right way. And we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." And then when we've established the fact that we want his will more than we want anything else, then and then only we can begin to let him know what we feel it is that we need. "Give us this day our daily bread." And I just wonder, in your devotions, this is not the main thrust of my thought this evening, but I wonder if you have a pattern, or do you just let it happen when you pray? And over again, as pastor, I must emphasize the fact that we need pattern praying. We need to pray and every day go through, not necessarily these words, but go through the pattern which releases the power in our lives, which puts us in harmony with God and enables him to really give us what it is we need, not what we think we need. And I just took the liberty of bringing out some more of these pattern for devotions out to the pulpit with me this evening. And if you don't have a pattern for your life, I would challenge you to try for 30 days praying by this pattern. The practical thing, and I'll try to remember to put them on the communion table after service this evening. A lot of you have already used them. Many of you have a better way, a better pattern, and that's fine. But I challenge you, because Jesus turned to this man and said, "When you pray, use the pattern. When you pray," and then gave him what we call the Lord's Prayer. But beyond what we say, this lesson on prayer spoke to what I would call the intensity factor. It isn't just saying the pattern. And there's times, even though I try to use this pattern every day that I live, there's times when I have to transcend my own pattern and can't depend upon just going back to saying these things. But I have to realize that it's not just a matter of following a formula. You can say it as earnestly as you want to, "Our Father which art in heaven," and right on through. But Jesus was trying to teach us through this puzzling story something about what I call the intensity factor in praying. Now, this is a puzzling story, by the way. A lot of people get hung up on it. It's a story that's kind of amusing in a way. He said, suppose one of you, he didn't say there was a man, but he says, suppose one of you, and I can picture myself in this predicament. Matter of fact, I can hardly picture myself in a predicament that's bad enough for me to call you up after midnight on the telephone. You know, I just don't like to bother people in the middle of the night. What would make you call me? By the way, anytime there is a need, don't hesitate to call. I got a phone right by the bed and I get those calls all the time. But you'd be surprised what weird things people call me about in the middle of the night. But whenever there is a genuine emergency, immediately, you can tell that there has been something which has prompted a sense of urgency, a sense of intensity in the praying. And he said, which of you would be desperate enough to go to a neighbor's house after midnight and begin to knock on the door and say, I've got a desperate need. I've got somebody who's come. They're starving to death. I can't wait till morning. Would you give me something to eat? And from out of the depths of that house, kind of muffled call, who in the world's there at this time of night? Go away. I'm in bed with my children. I have got a funny picture in my mind of a great wide bed about 10 feet wide. I've read what the commentaries say on it, so I won't even pass that on. That's not the important part of the story. But the lesson that Jesus was getting across was, this man got his bread not because of the goodness of the person he was talking to, although I think maybe I'd respond like that if somebody came and said, would you give me a piece of bread? I never respond like that when there's a, you know, some kind of a need that's a real emergency. You're always glad to help out. But he said this man got his request because he was shamelessly persistent and insistent on asking. Now, why we have to pray at all, in one sense, is a mystery. We're not informing God of anything that he doesn't know. He knows what we need. And yet the Master, whom we have asked, teach us to pray, is telling us that this is the way it works. Why it works that way, I don't know. But he said, unless we want what we're praying for earnestly enough to pray with intensity, we're not going to receive what we're asking for. It's not that we're persuading God or we're informing God. It's just a fact. And if you want to take a lesson from Jesus, he says this is how to pray. And so he's teaching us, ask. And in the original language, the idea is ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And then he turns around and says it for everyone that asks and keeps on asking, receives. And when we intensely ask, we are answered. And the corollary is the same. When we don't ask, we don't receive. And the reason we don't get prayers answered is because we probably really never ask. James said it, you don't get your prayers answered, number one, because you don't ask, or because you ask and you ask selfishly, you ask amiss, you haven't followed the pattern, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I can look back into my life and see those times when I have been driven to desperation in prayer. And the intensity of prayer has come, and life's course has been changed. Just a couple of weeks ago, Reverend Leslie Cook stopped by my office, pastor at Freeport. He used to be my Sunday school superintendent in Edison, New Jersey. You know I'm tired when I forget the name of Edison, New Jersey. But in the course of reminiscing, we were thinking about some good old times. The high point in his life, he pointed to two times when we prayed with agony and with intensity. One was when a family was put back together. And another was when a call was renewed and he quit being my Sunday school superintendent and accepted the pastorate back at Freeport, New York, where he's pastoring right now. But the time that we prayed, it wasn't necessarily a great time of blessing. But I can, with clarity, look back at those times. One was around the altar of the church, late at night. And we prayed because we desperately needed God to move in. And we prayed until we felt we had touched heaven. It wasn't that we shouted up and down the aisles. It wasn't that anything that you could sensibly feel. It was an assurance. And I wish I could share with you more tonight, but I can't. Just believe me, it was a tremendous thing. The other was out in his backyard. I forget, we were having a barbecue or something. The opportunity had come. He was secure. He had financial security. Owned his own home. But the call had come. And he'd left the ministry because of ill health a few years before. And should he stay in security or should he just cast all that aside and go on back into this crazy business of pastoring? Wonderful business. And he settled it there. Praise God. And God was so dynamically real. Intensity. I can think of another day I didn't even have this in my notes, but in my first pastor, where I became so desperate for some people in my church that I loved and I knew, but I didn't know they were right with God. I can remember driving down the highway, Highway 46, near Cherry Valley, Ohio, and because there was nobody around, just crying out loud to God. I'm not saying that God hears us for the noise of our praying, but sometimes it's good when we can get away. I know we're so shy. I'm the same way. We're just crying out, say, God, what can I do for my people? Desperate. And that day, three people, that one day, as I went from place to place, three people made definite commitments. I tell you, it was a high time, but it was an answer. You say, why don't you do that more often? Well, that's a good question you can ask me. Why don't you do it more often? But this intensity. But let me focus this in a little closer. I've been telling you that Jesus wants us to pray, but he wants us to pray with intensity. But look how he finally closes this passage. We must pray with intensity for the Holy Spirit. This fellow says, teach us to pray. Didn't he get a tremendous lesson? But he said, if you ask, you'll receive. Then he said at the close, in this contrast, you know, this fellow gave because he was so on. But he said, if ye, being evil, know how to give good things, good gifts, to your children that are attached to you, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit? But notice, to them that ask. How should they ask? He's already told us how to ask. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. With this intensity, we have to turn this intensity into asking for the Holy Spirit. I know there's a sense in which God is more anxious to sanctify us and fill us with the Holy Spirit than we are to be filled. And yet Jesus is teaching us here, we're not going to be sanctified, we're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit until we want the Holy Spirit and desire Him with intensity, until we pray and ask for Him in a way that plainly demonstrates to ourselves and to God that we want the Holy Spirit more than we want anything else. I want to tell you this evening, without the Holy Spirit, we're just like this man that Jesus describes. We've got good intentions and we love people, but we've got an empty cupboard. We don't have anything to set before our family, before our loved ones, before our neighbors. We've got revival coming on. We're going to have people coming in here. What in the world are we going to feed them? What are we going to give them? I think Jesus is trying to say, have you ever asked? Have you ever asked and kept on asking, oh God, I've got to have the Holy Spirit. I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Has there been a crisis time in your life when God has come and filled you with the Holy Spirit? Steve Nice was here this last week, briefly. I've heard him tell a few times about how he was raised at this school, at this campus, in this place, in this church. And yet he was at Brown University studying with the assistance of the United States government during World War II. And it dawned on him with conviction that he never had really been sanctified holy. And he'd prayed before and he'd been seeker at the altar. But he decided that he was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever it cost. Being in the service, very difficult to get a place that's private. It's almost as bad as being in a college, find a place that's private. I know. Or being in a busy house. Or being on a retreat with senior high kids. The only place he could find was a laundry room in the basement of a dormitory. And so he built a barricade. He went in there and he barricaded himself so that if someone came to the door, they could not only unlock it, but if they did unlock it, they couldn't get in without breaking some things down. And he said, Lord, if I have to stay in here for days, I don't care. I am going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He came out in about a half an hour. Say, why? Because he made up his mind that he wanted the Holy Spirit more than anything else. And God took him at his word. God is more anxious to give us the Holy Spirit than we are to have him. But have you asked with intensity? In your own personal life. And then will we, as a church, pray with intensity for the Spirit of God to fall on us in renewal and revival? I have the abiding conviction that the Master knows what he's talking about here, and that if we want to see revival, if we want to see the Spirit of God fall upon us, if we will ask, we will receive. Dr. John R. Mott said that wherever throughout the world he has traced a spiritual awakening to its cause and center, it has always been found in a prayer life that was beyond the ordinary. God is challenging us to ask and keep on asking. Now, I would say to you, before we've received the Holy Spirit in His fullness into our hearts, we can't really wisely pray for anything else. This is the lesson Jesus is giving us. And after we've received the Holy Spirit, He'll help us. That's a promise in Romans 8. He'll help us to make intercession. He'll help us to pray. I believe revival can come and revival will come. But I wonder if you'll join me in asking God to teach us all how to pray with this intensity. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach us to pray. And help us to have enough sense to do what the Master has told us to do. Shall we close in prayer? Lord, we talk so much about praying. We've all got our theories. But when it boils right down to it, we know so much more in theory than we do in practice. And help us not to be satisfied with an ordinary prayer life, even with a good pattern of praying. But teach us, Lord, this intensity that will not be satisfied until the Holy Spirit fills us. And then that we'll not be satisfied until He comes to enable us to meet the needs of others. Oh God, our cupboards are bare. We have nothing to set before those that we love. But you're not like this person who was in bed and said, don't bother me. You're waiting to pour out your Spirit upon us. We want to tell you this evening, that's what we want. We want your Spirit more than anything in this world. So come upon us and sanctify us, and then come upon us and revive us, and come upon us and make us effective Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Perhaps there's someone tonight that would like to pray at the altar for the Holy Spirit to fill you. If you want to, while we sing this closing song, you're welcome to slip out, come to the altar. This may not be the ideal altar song, but it's a song that emphasizes prayer. Oh, how praying rests the weary. Lord, teach us to pray. Number 479. Let's close our Sunday by singing this together, telling the Lord we want Him to teach us how to pray.